we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Friday to you, Brevard County. This is it. It is my last opportunity to invite you personally to come to our Mornings Matter Growth Workshop tomorrow morning at Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. We are not hard to get to. A little hard to find, but not hard to get to. We are two blocks north of 520, two blocks west of Courtney Parkway, two blocks south of Merritt Avenue, two blocks east of Tropical Trail. We are right in the heart of what was known as the Merritt Park Place subdivision a long, long time ago in a land far away. But we are right in the heart of that area, just two blocks north of 520. Our church sits pretty much two blocks north of the Tires Plus there in between Parnell and Grove Street. We got a free breakfast, free lunch, and a great personal development workshop for you tomorrow. And it's going to deal with all sorts of issues, health issues, spiritual issues, work-related issues. It'll help any area of your life. If you're a young person, I encourage you to come. It will put you ahead of many of your contemporaries in understanding how to put your life in order. And so we want to invite you to that. If you're a business person in the area, you can bring your staff. We really don't care how many people come. We can seat up to probably, 70 or 80 as far as configuring in our sanctuary for this workshop, where you'd be able to take notes and all of that. So we're just looking to give a gift of a blessing to our community. You might even be in government. This could be a blessing to you. I'm not saying we have a corner on this market of insight and development, but it does help when it comes from a godly perspective. Duke Matlock will be our guest speaker Saturday and Sunday, and we encourage you to come and avail yourself of this free opportunity. All we ask is that you'd let us know. We're going to prepare for more than what we have RSVP'd for. So if you don't RSVP and you decide that you're at the last minute, you can come. Go ahead and come anyway, and we'll be more than glad to have you. And that's coming up this weekend. Duke will be preaching Sunday morning. We will not be having a Sunday night service this week because of the Saturday morning extra meeting. Whenever I ask the people to do something extra, I try and compensate and give them some time to recuperate and spend with their family, and that will be taking place this Sunday. So that's what's coming up. We wanted to say thanks to Teresi Auto Sales and Repair. They are on Clear Lake Boulevard there, just south of Dixon Road in Cocoa, about two blocks south, and they can help you with your car repair or with your, if you need a different vehicle, they can help you with that as well. They have done both for me. They helped me find a vehicle, and they helped repair a number of my vehicles. And so if you need a trustworthy mechanic who will do you right and take good care of you, 636-4910. Ask for Joe or Michael. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio broadcast, and they can get you fixed up. I found them not only to be fair, but their prices are reasonable as well. And so they will be a blessing to you, and I encourage you to give them a call. So now you know everything that is going on this weekend. I want to take you back to Isaiah 33 today. Isaiah 33. We've got a core verse to this passage, and we've been trying to share from that. Verse number 22 of Isaiah, the 33rd chapter, says, "For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. Your tackle is loose. They could not strengthen their mast. They could not spread their sail." So we've talked about for the five different offices that are mentioned here, first of all, is the Lord. You got to get that one right first. And then the second is the judge. And we've been talking about that and how God doesn't judge the way that men judge. Men's emotions can get involved in the process. There, you know, in America, you want to discuss whether a person is going to judge by the Constitution or whether they're going to judge by their feelings or some anecdotal evidence and things like that. God is a holy judge. He is a righteous judge, and all of his judgments are righteous and true. And so, you know, where when we are dealing with people who are going before a judge, we pray that the judge has a good night's sleep. We pray that the judge is in a good mood, that he and his wife or her and her husband are getting along well, that there's no problems. They've not just had a contiguous case. We pray for the right frame of mind for the judges. That's what I do. And that's because we know human personalities are involved. God is never making judgments in an incoherent or irrational way. He always judges. And today we're going to talk about what does he judge by? And that is in the second phrase that we're talking about. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our lawgiver. And so in this passage, we see that God fills all three of what would be known as the branches of government here in America, where you have the judicial, the legislative, and the executive branch. Well, and you wouldn't want those consolidated into one individual when it comes to humans, because absolute power corrupts absolutely. But all of those things are consolidated in God. He is the not only the judge, he is the lawgiver. And I want to talk to you a little bit about the law that he has given. The law that he has given. And so I'm going to take you in the scriptures today to Matthew chapter 5. And that is where we are going to begin, Matthew chapter 5. And you will find that this is going to touch on a number of the things in the Ten Commandments. And it says, in verse number 27, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. It goes on, verse number 31. Furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but you shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black, but let your yes be yes, and your no, no, for whatever is more than these is from the evil one. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. Verse 43, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. What God has done in these passages is he has taken the Old Testament law and he expanded on it in New Testament principles. And you see that God's standards, God's ways are higher than man's ways. And I was so excited hearing a television preacher the other day. I don't remember exactly who it was at this point in time. And they were talking about that you need to walk with God so that you learn God's ways, not just his what his actions are. You need to learn how He does things, and God's more than willing to do that. So there are a lot of people who they just throw away the Old Testament and they focus on the New Testament and say, well, I'm no longer under law, I am under grace. Grace is actually a higher law. It calls us to a higher standard than what the Old Testament standard was. In the Old Testament, if you sinned, you came back and you made a sacrifice the next year and you started with a clean slate all over again. In the New Testament, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to be able to walk in righteousness before God in a manner that before that we did not have the capability of doing. Where he says, where the law says you shall not commit adultery, he says you're not even supposed to look at a woman lustfully. Where it says that you are not supposed to lie, he says you're not supposed to be deceptive with your neighbor in any form or any fashion. He raises the bar. He basically consolidates it. Let me take you over to Matthew chapter 15 just a second. Matthew chapter 15. And Jesus begins to deal with the people of his time. And again, it goes back to the Ten Commandments, which are found in Exodus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5. In chapter 15 of Matthew, it says, then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they do not wash their hands when they eat bread? He answered Jesus and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God? Because of your tradition. For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me as a gift to God, then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and understand, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, that defiles the man. And so what Jesus did was he said, what you have done is you want to set aside the commandments of God and you want to replace it with the traditions of men. And the traditions of men are always more convenient for man than they are, than it is to obey the commandments of God. The commandment of God, I'll take you to this passage in just a minute. I just want you to know the commandment of God is flawless. We struggle because we have been given a free will. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. We have always struggled with God giving us a commandment, and it didn't matter if it was one or if it was a thousand. It didn't matter. We've always struggled with obedience to it because God has given to us a free will. Now, I want you to know the Lord is sovereign. He could have consolidated, he could have created us in such a way that we would walk in blind obedience. God was not looking for automatons of faith. He was looking for men and women who choose to live by faith. And you and I still need to live by faith in 2016. But God is looking for us to make that choice. He has empowered us with a decision-making capability so as to choose the right and to avoid the wrong. And so what men try to do is they are looking, I've seen it way too many times, where they are looking for anecdotal loopholes to the commandment of God so that they don't, it's basically done with the intent of compromising the commandment and making it of no effect. Isn't that what it said there in Matthew chapter 15? Let me turn back over there. I want to read it to you and get it right. He said to them, "Um, Verse number 6, thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. And so that is really what is going on in America right now, where we are trying to redefine morality and we are trying to redefine what is right and what is wrong. And the purpose of that is to nullify or negate the law of God. Whenever there's violence in the streets, it makes the law of God of no effect. Whenever society chooses their own traditions and their own doctrines instead of allowing the word of God to define itself, then we get into a compromised situation. Now, I'm going to take you over to Matthew chapter 19, and it says this, Matthew chapter 19. So what we saw in 15 is where men were wanting to replace God as the lawgiver with themselves as the lawgiver. That's the ultimate struggle, is who has the right to make the laws. And I contend to you that God has a lot more experience and a lot more wisdom, a lot more insight than what any person on this planet does. You take all 7 billion, go ahead, survey them all, and you will find that God is more of an expert in what is right and what is wrong than if we combined all 7 billion people and amassed a great summation of total. Let God be true and every man a liar, the scripture says. Matthew chapter 19, verse number 16. Jesus summarizes everything in this passage. In verse number 16, it says, now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Do you see that? If you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. And so he said to him, which ones? Jesus said, and he starts off with the Ten Commandments. He says, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the young man said to him, all these I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? And so I want you to see there that he starts off with ones that are pretty easy for us to keep. Not killing somebody is relatively the ratio, the odds of success of not killing someone is really good. When Jesus raises the bar, he says, you're not even supposed to have a hatred feeling towards your brother. So he raises the bar there. Stealing, committing adultery, not lying, honor your father and mother. And all of a sudden we find that we get into a lot more of those issues. Jesus basically summarized the commandments into two. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And John says, how can you say that you love God when you don't love your neighbor? The New Testament actually says the law and the prophets are summed up in this. Love your neighbor as yourself. I want to love God. I want to go to heaven. I want to spend eternity in the presence of the King. And as a result of that, I want to love my neighbor that same way. I want my neighbor to go to heaven. I want my neighbor to spend eternity with Jesus. I want my kids, my grandkids, I want my friends, my family, my relatives. I want everybody to go, but they have to go on God's terms, not just because I want them to go. See, we want to compromise the commandment in order to get the benefit for everybody. And God says, in order for heaven to be heaven, there has to be a delight to do my will and my commandment. That's just a reality. If an unrepentant liar goes to heaven, then it's not heaven. It is a representation of hell at that point in time, because the lying is from the devil. It's his native language. So we need to be forgiven of lying not emboldened to lie. And so because of that, I take the approach to the Word of God. I want to take you to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. And if you wanted to read more about the commandment of God, you could go back and say, look in Psalm 119, all that is in there. And so Psalm 19, verse number 7 says this, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." This, you know, this is a passage that I was exposed to when I was probably 13 years old. It was one of my first adventures in youth group, and there was a concert that night, and they sang this song. I can still remember it. I could tell you where we went to hear this passage being sung about. "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yes, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warmed, and in keeping them there is great reward." So David, the psalmist, looked at the commandments and the law of God, and he said, there is great benefit to be found here. And so we have to ask ourselves, are we going to make the same mistake that the Pharisees and the Sadducees did, or are we going to embrace the law of God the way that that David did here in Psalm 19, where he says, "The law of the Lord is perfect. It changes my soul. It changes my mind, my will, my emotions. It changes me in the innermost part of my being." Paul said, if the law had not been given, I wouldn't have known what sin was. But because the law was given, it showed me what areas of my heart were wrong so that I could correct those things. Now, there are many people who do not believe that the law of the Lord is perfect. I want you to know that that does not change the reality or the flawless nature, the inerrant nature of the Word of God in any respect. We believe in the inerrant Word of God. We believe in the inerrancy of Scripture. It is our highest standard. We understand that there are people who don't want to embrace that, and so we try and show them by our lives and by our approach to the Word of God and the love of God that we have in our heart that the Word of God has the better path. It is the better choice. It says, "The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." If I were to ask you how many of you would like more wisdom, I think that we would get a pretty large response. I really long for politicians who would follow Solomon's example and say, "God, who could possibly lead this great, vast number of people of yours unless you give me the wisdom to do so?" But instead, there are so many politicians who've they've got so many commitments that they need to repay back to people from all across the political spectrum, that they're not looking for the wisdom of God as much as Solomon. We might give a cursory prayer or whatever to it, but we really need the wisdom of God. As a pastor, I need the wisdom of God. As a father, I need the wisdom of God. As a husband, I need the wisdom of God. It says, "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart." Now, the Lord is our lawgiver. That's what we're talking about today out of Isaiah. And so the Lord is our lawgiver. I had a person that told me one time, "Pastor, would you please stop sharing about the commandments of God? Because whenever the word commandment is used, there is something in my nature that wants to rise up and say, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. And I want you to understand that the appropriate response to the commandments of God, and by the way, those weren't the commandments of Bob. Those were the commandments of God. And the appropriate response to the commandments and to the statutes of God is it's supposed to cause our hearts to rejoice. And there's a cartoon that shows up every once in a while on Facebook. I haven't seen it in a while. But a guy says, you know what? I'm sick of this entrapment. I'm just going to go ahead and hop over this fence here. And the guy says, that wasn't a fence. That was a guardrail. And there was a cliff on the other side of it. And he just jumped right off the cliff. It was designed to protect. The law of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, are supposed to bring joy to our life because we know that God has put it there as a protective barrier against the traps and the snares of the enemy. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. So I want to ask you, when was the last time you opened the Word of God and said, man, this is pure? And you know, the difference between us and Isaiah is Isaiah had a revelation of the holiness of God in Isaiah chapter 6, and he said, woe is me, I am a man of unclean lips. A lot of times we look at the commandment of God and we come back and say, well, that's unjust. Who could possibly measure up to that? And so we condemn where Isaiah wanted to be changed. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. It goes on and it says, the commandments, the laws of God that he has put in place, they are to be desired greater than wealth. Greater than wealth. Much fine gold. And it says, and in keeping them, there is great reward. I had a conversation not exceptionally long ago, a couple of months ago, with a person, and they said the laws in America, by the time you factor in city ordinances, county ordinances, state law, federal law, and all of the rules and regulations, they said that people were telling them, this would go back to probably May, people were telling them that the average person probably violates three laws unintentionally every day, not to mention the ones that are intentionally violated, like speeding. What if we said, God, you know what? I want to keep your laws because I know this. My life is going to be better with you as the lawgiver, not me as the lawgiver. May you enjoy God, our lawgiver, today. We'll see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. Everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve you. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing. Save me from those things that might distract me. Please take them away. Purify my heart. I don't want to lose the eternal for the things that are passing.
'cause what will I have when the world is gone if it isn't for the love that goes on and on? And not one thing.